Good morning, fiancés.
Hey, AJ.
Good morning, AJ.
Said good morning. Straight at it. No games.
Jump no right games into played. 7:30.
All right, so I don't even know if we should just dilly dally. We've said good morning. We've addressed the fiancés. We have news to get to, but sinners. Okay, it's just this is what you guys tuned in for. You didn't want to hear any news from us. You wanted to know
this
if we saw
the
sinners
news from us.
This is
how about
this
that?
Is. Yeah, we saw sinners. Yeah,
yeah, we saw it.
Yeah, we saw it. It saw us. It was, wow. Want to see it again?
Yeah, have to. I feel like that's a. You're gonna have to watch that three times.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Catch it all.
There is so much in this film. You walk away from it feeling like, yeah. And there
that
are
a lot of shaking of his body.
Yeah, you guys couldn't see. I was doing a lot of shimmying. Yeah. And also, there are two end credit scenes. There's a mid credit, and there's a one at the very end. So you got to stay for the whole thing. We caught the mid credit. We didn't know there was a second one. So, you know. Yeah.
I'm right now years old finding out that we missed something.
Yeah. And because we didn't, it's not a Marvel film. You know, we're
this is what we do
end
now, huh?
Yeah.
Just throw in mid credit and end credits yeah in all sorts of movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Ryan's like, listen, you know, you guys know where I'm from. You know what I've been doing. So stick around.
Dang.
Yeah, I know. But it was an amazing experience. There are so many conversations being held throughout that film as far as some of the themes. Very beautifully shot. I don't know if you've noticed this or seen any news about this, but it's released on multiple formats.
Yeah.
Special releases in certain theaters around the world. And then at some of these openings, you get opening weekend, you get a piece of the film.
Yeah.
They give, yeah. And it was funny. I don't know if you saw any of this online. It was like, look, white people taking the pieces of the film and reselling it. Literally the theme of the movie.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man.
It was like, can't help itself, huh?
It was just like an image of like a bunch of different people selling the film strips on eBay or whatever.
Yikes.
And it was like 200, 400. It was like, wow.
For the free film strip that yeah they got when yes they went to the movie.
Yes. Yes. So here's the thing.
I don't have the wherewithal right now. I just, you know.
The funny part about this to me is this is literally what's done with any piece of fanfare, fandom, merchandising that is associated with an awesome IP. So it's normal to see this happening. But in this particular instance, it was like there's a part of the movie that speaks directly to this
yeah
type of activity.
Yeah.
Did you see the film? What were
yeah
you, like, did you see what film this was for? In which you're selling the film? Like, I was like, wow, wow, wow.
I mean, I know that you cannot control anyone's actions once they are given a thing.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
I understand that. And yeah then I'm also like, I don't know. Like, so okay, maybe that little film strip didn't mean anything to you. And you're like, I don't want it, you know?
Yeah.
Is there not a person you could give that to?
Give like it to someone who does?
Who wants it?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's where I went. You do, though, because that makes sense. Yeah. Maybe don't participate in the sinning.
You know? Well, but, I think that that movie points out that it's hard not to sin sometimes, man, you know, and man. That depending on the lens, if the music is sin,
yeah,
great you film. May have to, you know, go against the family.
Might have to. Absolute great film. Yeah, definitely would recommend.
There's so much I want to talk about, but it's super new.
Yeah.
And so I don't want... Yeah. I'm also struggling today, so I may, like, spoil it, and I don't want to do that.
Right, fumble the ball.
But wait, what? Fumble the ball. Yeah, no, I think today is going to be a lot of me fumbling the ball. Let me just let y'all know that off rip. Nah, but, like, there are so many themes, and I think that there's a lot to be said about movies and books and entertainment that is made for people to keep thinking and not for a quick little bite
of entertainment or whatever.
Yeah. There's a lot of it that hits you a little bit later or, you know, there's a thing that y'all do. Okay. So I live in a household, everybody with,
film enthusiasts, passionate
filmmakers. Like,
I like it.
And I often feel, what's the word?
The odd one out?
No, well, okay. Yes, but not. I don't feel as informed.
Gotcha.
I don't feel as knowledgeable about the things that, like, that you guys will see.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely am a person that's like, gets a migraine from a 3D movie and, you know, a full IMAX experience can go either way.
Yeah. And we were lucky this time.
But I don't think that was a full IMAX experience. No. I think that was definitely just like, a bigger screen.
They charge us for something we didn't get.
I really do.
Take a look at that.
I'm coming for you, Regal. No, but like it'll be like, you know, I am a person who when I first listen to music, the very first thing I'm listening to is the words. Mm-hmm. Like the I'm going to care about the beat very much, but the words matter the most to me.
We're exact opposite in that way.
Yes. Yeah. And in movies, it's the same thing. It's in the way of the dialogue and I'm looking behind for the things that they're not saying and, you know, and I'm not taking into account like how beautiful a shot is.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's framed.
Yeah.
Focus. Yeah.
Like, or why there's a soft focus somewhere. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, like, and so for many years I have been like sort of learning how to watch movies differently.
Mm.
And this was like a, it's a, you know, billed as a horror film.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for the monsters in every corner because that's what I do when I watch a horror movie. Like,
jump scares? You ain't getting
me. I know the jump scare is coming. Got me every time.
Right.
Got me every single time with every single jump scare. And they were not like, you know, a monster popping out of a closet.
Right.
It was like, Morgan.
You didn't yelp. I don't remember you making any noises. Or did you? I just didn't hear it.
I think there was an audible one. One. Yeah. Ah! Now I don't even remember my point now. I'm too busy trying to solve the movie. I know that that's my problem. And I don't see the beauty for what it is until I sit and watch it again.
Yeah, it's so funny to hear you frame it that way, because that's definitely you during certain films where like this the request from filmmakers to the audience to suspend reality when it comes to certain genres that don't really fly with MJ. She'd be like, well, wait a minute, no. And it's not the normal like this person's making a decision I wouldn't make, because we all do that.
Oh, films. Yeah.
We're like, well, now, wait a minute. No.
Well, this doesn't go with the rules.
Yeah. What are the rules? Because that doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, babe, it's still early in the movie. We're establishing the rules. And you're like,
This doesn't seem right.
This doesn't feel right.
You don't get to eat the face and then become the person, do you? Like, is that really? Yeah, no, that is my problem. I'm consistently trying to make sure I understand it or something, yeah. You know, like.
Oh, my God.
And there's a lot of rules that change in, you know, the movies are different. And I fully get that.
Yeah,
I get it. But then it'll have some of the underlying same rules, like, you know, vampiric rules.
Yeah.
That are.
Yeah.
That I think I got down because I understand a love story. And then all of a sudden, I don't understand it.
I think
they change it.
A great way to look at it. We've been having this conversation a lot more, specifically around vampire movies. That, like, the literature, the written word, the prose, when it comes to any of this stuff, that's like a connective tissue. And then out of that, the spores of these films. So it's like they can pull from a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But ultimately, there are rules. There are rules where it's like, stay within, like, pull from where you want, but please stay within these bounds before you turn it into something else.
At least a touch.
Yeah.
Or turn it into something else.
Yeah, or just, you're right, don't just make be it something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That none of that I'm talking about right now has to do with this. I understood the rules very, very right. easily. But I have to tell you that every single time there is a horror movie that definitely has racial elements this is, I wouldn't say elements, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Overtones.
Yeah, but like Get Out and Us and, you know, like that it's a very clearly, this is Black stories being told and the horror that comes with being Black and then also two plus and other stuff.
Right, right.
That I won't spoil for you right now. But Ambush famously said on our podcast, The Podcast Has No Name.
Wow, I was hoping this wouldn't come
many,
back.
Many years ago.
Many moons, guys. Almost a different person. Practically, a lot of people would say it's a different person. Not the sandwich.
Would those a lot of people be like Trump? Like, why is it a lot of people would say?
That's literally, that's where I was going. It's just
great. Ambush famously once said, I don't want my horror mixing with any of that race business. Get the race problems out of my horror.
It's like, I don't want racism with sci-fi. I don't want it. With science fiction in my horror. I don't want it.
And I can't get that out of my head every time. I'm sorry. Like, I want to very badly.
I wanted it to never be in there.
And I know you've moved on.
Yes.
I think you partly moved on that night. We gathered you. It was definitely like, come here. Let me hold your hand.
Havoc was wreaked. Okay. I felt it from all sides. I was like, wait, what? No one agrees with this? No. This is a poor take? Oh, no. I apologize. Yeah.
But watching this was like, man, he's going to hate this. He can't like any part of this one right here.
Oh my gosh. Ambush circa 2013 is going to hate this.
Yeah. Not going to love it.
That was rough stuff. Dang.
There's so much to appreciate about that film. And one of the things that I am in love with right now is the press runs that they're doing and how open they are. Like, I feel like, you know, so many films, when I see the press run, it's like, oh, can't give anything away. Can't do that. 'Cause it's going to like connect to 18 different films or something. And so you can't talk about how, the Wasp left or something. Yeah. I don't know. But this is, I mean, you can tell how much Ryan Coogler, the director, writer of this original story, you can tell how much he cares for everyone that he works with on set.
Yeah.
How much he respects the artistry of acting and the artistry of filmmaking and everybody's roles. You know, like, he very much bigs up the director of photography and, the cinematographer. Like, he talks about everyone very much like a team and family. Mm-hmm.
That's got to be a great work environment.
It really has to be. And to that point, I saw a clip of Delroy saying, there's a very specific scene where three of them are in the car. Right, and I'll just give you that. Crazy,
because I saw that. That's the clip I woke up to.
Oh, I sent it to you last night.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that's why.
I'll go.
Maybe I'll just check it.
Your point.
Anyway, I don't check my inbox either, so it's fine. Sorry, friends. I haven't been an internet lady for about 4 solid weeks right now. But there's a scene where there's three people in a car. That's all you need to know to be able to identify the scene once it happens. Okay.
Yeah.
It is powerful.
Very.
And what it illustrates is something that Black people aren't made to articulate a lot, but something that we just do, live in, how we survive, part of the art that comes from unique struggles. And the interviewer was saying, I loved that scene. It connected a lot of dots for me. I am so appreciative of it. And he was just, you know, really digging into how much that scene meant. And I'm watching him react, and I was laughing because I was like, this is like watching myself react immediately to things being said. Whatever my face is doing confuses people because they think I'm, you know, mad and really I'm just like, whoa, for real? Like, you think that? I don't know.
It's just hitting you.
It's just hitting me, and I'm taking it in.
Right.
Anyway, he said the scene was almost cut, and that the first cut of the film, that scene was cut. Mm. And when they saw the first cut as a crew, he went to Ryan and was like, you got to keep that scene. You got to put that scene back in. And what was amazing about the way he's telling this story is that I'm not on a set. I don't have any idea the kind of agency that actors have to go to a director to say, hey, you've made a decision that I think isn't great for your film that you wrote. You know?
Yeah. Like, I don't remember the words you had me say? I think you should put them back in.
Said there was a 3-page monologue.
Yeah, that was incredible.
And he said that he told Ryan, like, I'm going to need space with this piece. I'm going to need the ability to work this with the other actors. Like, and he gave it to him.
Man, he gave it to us. Thankfully.
And then they gave it to us.
Yeah.
So Ryan put the scene back in. But for him, the way that he explained it, that he heard me when I said it. It wasn't just like, you know, actor with a grievance and wanted more screen time or something. It's like, no, this is speaking right here, and it has to stay.
Yeah.
And I don't know how y'all feel when you are actually heard and then something is acted on. Because there's a big difference between feeling seen and heard and, you know, someone has acknowledged the thing, but nothing happens. Mm-hmm. When you are heard and then someone acts on that, there's almost no better feeling.
Yeah.
You know?
On a project like that where, as we've already seen the film, right? So it's like, how could you imagine that scene not being in the film?
But can't.
Right. But for Ryan, he was already doing so much. He was already telling so many, he was communicating so many different things in the film. He felt like and I can lose this one because I'm already, there's already so much in here.
Yeah.
Like, wow. To be able to just be open enough to get that critique or
feedback.
You know, that feedback from an actor and be like, huh, you know what? I reconsider and I approve. I really appreciate your point. I hear that.
Yeah.
Let's not just throw it back in. Let's put it in and make sure it fits and works. So opposed to it being the 3-page monologue.
He cut it down.
Cut it down to whatever. And boom, here it is. Man.
Oof. I saw someone say, like, you owe us nothing. You've done so much for us already, but like, please drop the director cut because I know it's 4 hours long.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got to be. It's got to be. The musical numbers are probably longer. Like, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. The connecting the sort of fabric weaving that happens within this movie is really beautiful, really intentional. Like, you can, you know, there's a lot of double, triple kind of meanings for things, depending on where you either sit, live, or, you know, in or outside of the culture. Like,
right. I was like, that pretty much sums it up.
Now, I'm going to have to ask if we are, in fact, on air. Okay. And the reason I say that is, I haven't seen any other text message come through.
Other than AJ's.
I said any other.
Yeah.
I was like, I will never discount AJ's contributions here.
Yeah, to this jam.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, wondering if in fact other people are here or their phones are stuck or they're watching, you know, like, are you bootlegging sinners right now? Like,
right. What? Are you rushing to an 8 a.m. viewing? Where did they do that?
Do they have those?
Breakfast viewings? Ooh.
I would do it.
I feel like
if you could go to a movie before work, I would do it.
That's fire.
Yeah.
That's fire. If they did a breakfast viewing, would you want a buffet?
I don't like, no. I would.
No eating breakfast with your movie, with your breakfast movie.
I mean, it's not that I wouldn't eat breakfast, but like, a buffet sounds wild at a movie theater, and I don't want that.
What I don't want is wild.
What I don't want is like sneeze guard trays over, you know, cheese it.
Yeah.
At the movie theater. Well,
asking you shall receive. Fiancés have populated.
Finally.
They're like, hey, we're here.
Okay, good to know.
Brooke said, good morning.
Good morning, Brooke.
C says, I'm listening. I'm listening.
C.
Matt also says, good morning.
Good morning, Matt. Matt started, you know, being like number one or two on the first to text in.
The call sheet.
You know, the first sheet. On the call sheet.
We got another text. We hear your sweet voices. Thank you very much.
Ooh.
And then someone else was like, yes. Yes.
That's solid. Yes. I am so here for that.
Brooke said, first ever, 7:30 on my game. Listening to your girl, perfect music break. Yes.
GD,
perfect music break.
Yeah.
I got to get these glasses.
Yes, you do.
Jeez.
What's funny is how reckless Ambush is with his glasses.
What?
For a person who needs new glasses, who needs them so bad. He's the most reckless I have ever seen. Like, he treats them like they're dollar store cheaters, you know, like they're the readers or whatever those are called.
Yeah.
That's what he treats his actual glasses like. Like last night, I don't even know what you were doing. But his glasses fell on the ground. He grabs them and just throws them on the couch. And then, I was like, you do need those to see, do you not? I am a person who hasn't been able to see since the 5th grade.
You're like, I value my glasses.
I value. Are you kidding me? I will walk directly into a wall. I cannot see anything. So I'm already confused when people are like just taking their glasses off to read other stuff. Like, how, what? That's not how glasses work. I mean, I get it. Don't come for me. I do understand different prescriptions and all of those. Oh, but literally, like, I can't. There is no, as a very young person, I got contacts and I slept with them.
Oh, no.
Because I wanted to know what it felt like to wake up and be able to see.
Immediately just wake up.
Yeah, just wake up and see.
Wow.
And let me tell you this. Don't ever do that.
Especially like back then, the contacts were like just glass.
Like, I mean, they weren't. Okay, slow down. when do you think I was born? That is egregious. I'm not doing that.
Thin glass lenses with slider eyes. I could never. I could not put my contacts in. And the one time I was able to get them in, they were dry, and then one fell and it tore. I tried to put the torn one back. It was just horrible experience. It was like a Saw experience. Never going back to contacts. Ever. Ever, ever, ever.
Okay, let me just ask this real quick. When you were at the optometrist.
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't at all try and show you how to put them in?
Of course they did. Yeah.
And then what were you doing?
I was watching intently.
No.
And absolutely not. Waves of fear washing over me while pretending that everything will be okay. That's what I was doing. And then you just do this. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Seems fairly easy. You think you're able to do these? Yeah. I touch my eyes all the time. you want us to put these in for you? Oh, no, I got it. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, that's what I was doing. So. Young youth.
That's a really fantastic reenactment, and I appreciate it.
It was like in eighth grade. You taking eighth and ninth grade.
Oh, so you got glasses early, too?
Yeah.
But you didn't?
Oh, there are middle school pictures of me glasses.
Remember. I remember those, the Biggins.
Yeah.
You had the...
Yeah.
That's right.
Working in the cash room of a casino glasses.
Yes, you were.
Yes.
You can count dollar bills from the fourth story.
You're dang all right. Eye in the sky. You listen to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And in the Halem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. So I do want to listen, guys. MJ's not lying. I throw these things all over the place. And I don't understand why I do it. It's almost like, get over there. And I do the same thing with my phone, too. I'll walk in a room and just throw my phone at the couch, throw my phone at the bed,
toss it.
It's usually a soft place. It's not like I throw it across the counter. $1,200. Yeah, I do the same thing. I think with the glasses, it's partly, I don't know, whatever the relationship is with me just throwing things that are valuable to me. So it's partly that, but then also this level of frustration with the glasses, because it's like, I can't see a damn thing with these things. I toss them, you know? These retro fretcher glasses, and I'm just, pull them down.
Frets. I like it.
You know, it's like, get these off of me.
This all makes a lot of sense. I'll just tell you that none of your body language is ever what you are experiencing at the time.
Oh, he's a masker, guys.
So it certainly never looks like frustration or like, gosh darn it.
You're right.
I can't see. Like, it's as if they're a prop in your life. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, like I really don't need them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you do.
Yeah. Having a backup pair, too, also, I think, adds to the lack of concern. And it's not a backup pair that I like because I'd wear them. They're too small for my face, and they give me a rash. So it's just, is it really a backup pair?
No.
Maybe not.
No.
Maybe not.
If your backup pair doesn't fit. I think they're not for you.
Brooks,
it's like my backup shoes, but they're half a size too small.
They're a size 9.
But I run in them when my other ones don't. No, you don't.
I'm a 13, but my backup shoes are a 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're not your shoes.
They're not your shoes.
No.
You shouldn't have them.
Brooks says, where'd you see Sinner? And do you recommend the theater? So we saw an IMAX at Lloyd.
Regal.
Yeah.
Which is like our neighborhood-ish movie theater.
Definitely.
Right? Sure. Like, that's, we end up seeing a lot of things at that theater.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that. I will tell you I didn't feel like that with IMAX.
Yeah, MJ. So our concern with IMAX was maybe it would trigger migraines, because 3D, no games played over there. She can't do it. So,
and like an IMAX, I'm sorry to have interrupted, but like IMAX, if you're at OMSI or like a, you know,
planetarium,
I'm done.
Yeah, wraparound screen is going to be an issue.
Yeah,
this is a very large screen. the sound system was bumping. But yeah, I feel you on you feeling like, was it an IMAX experience?
Yeah, it's like I want to see the movie. This was my whole thing.
Yeah.
I want to see the movie the way that the director wants us to see the movie. And another quick aside to shout out to Ryan Coogler for being like, number one, explaining what all the different aspect ratios that they shot this film in, the kind of film that they shot the movie on, like explained all of these things and gave us an understanding of why those different things matter to what you're going to see.
Yeah.
And so it's like the IMAX version, and there's a different version of like 15 perf, which is like the perforations in the film strips. 70
millimeter.
Like 70 millimeter, 15 perf IMAX.
What do you mean?
That is only in like 10 theaters because nowhere has all of those things or is able to do that. I wanted to see it. I was like, this is risky for me because I know that I know that it can go bad, and I didn't want to ruin our experience. I want to see the movie, like, you know. But I had my backup plan. I was prepared to dip out if there was a thing and just go into the 2D standard showing.
Oh,
I just didn't tell my family that. But I had a plan.
This is me finding out now.
I had a plan.
And I'm pretty impressed. Yeah.
I don't know if where we sat in the theater may have had a positive effect too. Like maybe if I were too low or too high, you know, like maybe it would have been a thing. Also, trying to figure out why you get migraines from outside things like that is really not just hard, but incredibly annoying and frustrating. Yeah,
external triggers.
I'm tired.
Yeah.
I just want to watch a movie.
That's it. In high altitude, if you wanted to.
If I wanted to.
Yeah.
Well, and also high altitude isn't also always the problem.
Yeah.
But higher than where, I don't know.
Who cares? Someone asked, said they came in late. What movie were we talking about earlier?
Sinners.
Talking about Sinners. Talking about Sinners. Yeah. So good.
Now I forgot what I was saying.
You were
also
talking.
Someone said, oh my god, I love Jack's chicken, and that's all I can see right now.
Wait, what? Oh. I wonder for my
Oh my god, is this P Town?
It's P Town.
For your birthday weekend.
It's coming up.
Okay, wait, did it already happen? Happy birthday. Happy early birthday. Happy today birthday. Right. Happy tomorrow birthday.
Yeah, we need
to down. Give us the deets.
Yeah. She said, I'm sure you heard about this. Hexeth orders a makeup studio to be installed in the Pentagon. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Shout out to C's. Kegseth.
Kegseth. That's his only name from here on out. There's no way we will ever refer to him as anything else. That is Peter Kegseth. Of the Keg Seth family.
You want a makeup studio in the Pentagon?
Do we get... So that's how we get ready for war? Oh. Is that... That's his war paint. I get it now.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Wait.
That's his war paint.
No, take it back. I want to take it back. Hit the dump button. None of us said that.
No. He wants to make sure he doesn't look too flush, you know?
Well, when you're drinking all day, you can get really red. Been there, bud.
Yeah.
You know? The day drinking has happened to my cheeks, too.
It's like, where did you...
How'd you get so rosy? What's happening?
Where do you think you are? The get down? What are you doing? You're at your job, bro. You're at your job.
A makeup studio is wild. Like, you
go to work.
You have an office.
Right.
Do you not have an office? Sit at the chair, put the white napkins into your collar, and let the lady or gent get to work. You know? What an awful person. And with awful priorities. And obviously, he has way worse priorities than putting a makeup studio in the Pentagon. But, I mean, if we're going to see this through the lens of American white Christian nationalist, patriarchy. What? A makeup studio in the Pentagon for the big boys?
For the big boys.
For the mans?
For man's death?
Hold on. I want to know how far, like.
Someone said war drag.
Yeah. Thank you. Much better. Much better.
Yes.
Much better.
Yes.
Like, I don't want to, like, jump into the patriarchy bag, but, like, I really feel like, aren't we doing... These are the people that are like, you can't use a bathroom the same as a lady part.
Yeah.
But.
Make up me, please.
Is it Jesse Waters? I think Fox News has a Jesse. I think that's his name. Mm. He was saying that. Nope, it definitely is him.
Dark haired guy.
Yes.
He is the most annoying person to have in front of a camera.
He isn't just annoying. That man's a predator and like tells his predator story as like a funny, ha ha, check out how I got my wife. I'm come right back to that.
Okay. Jeez.
But he, as a person who is a pundit, that's his, he's not a journalist. Right. Like he's a pundit. He is on TV, reading words from a teleprompter, aka a screen.
Yeah. He has the
every
worst
day
takes,
that he goes to work.
The worst takes every day.
Imagine being at work and saying, knowing that that's his job, saying that America doesn't have the kind of jobs that men need because looking at a screen all day makes you a woman. You know, like, what are you doing? Using computers. You gonna start bleeding? You know, you better watch out.
Jesse, where should your male audience watch you from?
They're definitely not any of their screens if they want to stay boys. Men.
It's idiotic. What are you talking about?
Like, these are the people that are like, yeah, men aren't manly anymore, and the women and the feminism made the men have hormones that don't like, and you know what I mean? Like, it's all this. As you sit there with a Kardashian style
beat. Yeah. Yes.
Looking closer to Kris Jenner than Jesse Waters every single time you step on the screen.
Yeah. IG filter all on your face.
All on your face.
Yes.
And you're over here talking about who should get to play sports? Like, you right. don't. It's not you. You are not in competition, bro.
Oh, my gosh.
It's wild for the night. So Jesse Waters, real quick, I feel like this is now important. And in case anybody else didn't know this, he has told this story multiple times on Fox News of meeting his now wife, seeing her go to, like, they were coworkers, mm-hmm. or he was her boss. He would watch her walk to her car and, you know, try and talk to her. And she's not really giving him any action. He gave her a flat tire.
Oh. Wow.
For Christmas. And then offered her a ride home Because, you know, when I get you alone.
That's an unsub move.
No, 1,000%. Where is the Criminal Minds team? Get the BET.
Wheels up, yes. Man.
Wheels up, man. Wheels up. Yeah.
He was also with someone.
I don't know if he was married at the time or if he was just had a long-term girlfriend, but he...
I refuse to believe he was single during the
He was taken, as they say. And then, you know, bamboozles this other woman who was also a subordinate.
So basically, he had a captive and decided it was time to switch his captive. Yeah.
New one, please.
Yeah.
New captive me, please. And now, you know, they're married. So.
What? He flattened one of her tires. Wow.
Literally.
Did he admit to paying? Did he ever pay for it? Oh, I'm paying for it now. She's my wife. She's probably, my wife, you know? Yeah. I've paid for it several times over.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure he paid for it. Like, oh, no, you got a flat tire. Let me give you a ride home. And then also, you know.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, that is Silence of the Lambs behavior, bro.
Okay, sorry. There's so many texts now. Shout out to y'all. I'm trying to see them. And it's coming. They're coming in differently. They're bold now. And
oh.
Are they not bold on your end?
No, not on my end.
Yeah, okay. How about... I don't know. Are we ever going to get to news?
I think so.
We're not.
C said, or I guess we're talking about the makeup thing earlier. As long as Cheeto powder is available in orange for the press and white cheese for everyone else, it should be allowed.
White cheese Cheetos? Wait a minute.
Cheese powder. Like the white popcorn powder? Yeah. Make sure that we need these shades.
I just thought he was saying that there's like a white cheddar Cheeto somewhere. And I was like, show me to the money. So there's a lot going on. Y'all may have saw y'all uncle Shannon Sharp doing the fool right now.
Y'all uncle. I want to be clear.
Put that on it.
Y'all's is no.
But in local news, you know, after this music break, we'll talk about, is Portland a libertarian?
A whole libertarian. Sheesh.
For as much as the, you know, Portland is the progressive haven of all things and, basically, I don't know, a communist city to the outside world. Is the city a libertarian? Because forcing citizens to pay for public infrastructure has got to be bad policy.
I believe so.
No?
I believe so.
We're going to get into that. We may also get to our national stories. Like, why compete when you can purchase your competition instead? Meta is not doing a great show in the FTC hearings. This is my new favorite show.
FTC hearings.
FTC hearings all day. I could do it. Just make sure that the biggin goes next.
Right.
And then, I don't know, there's so many Trump stories, but one of them is that his U.S. attorney is getting in the way of, or trying to get in the way of, not just already in progress court proceedings, but in this instance, the sentencing of a convicted officer. He's like, you know what? I'm going to need 3 months to take a peek at that. And the judge said, no, you don't.
No, we're not doing that.
Actually, no, you don't.
Wow.
So, yeah, we're going to get into those, hopefully. Ambush can take us into a cool music break.
I'll do just that. See you guys on the other side of it. Welcome back to News of My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. How was Mary always? MJ.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you a question and I want complete honesty.
Oh.
You know, as someone who lives with a DJ, how annoying is it when I get an earworm and I'm playing this song all the time, and it's like, okay, Ambush just discovered another song that he's in love with, and now we're going to hear it every single time. Because Mary Always was definitely one of those songs.
I will say that they've only really experienced this with you with like three songs. Okay. And that is one of them. And I could probably go the rest of my life and never hear that song again. And still it would like beat in the back of my head. Yeah, it's just there.
I'm in tears.
I didn't expect that to be your question. Wow. And thanks for asking for honesty. I hope you wanted it.
That is one of them.
I honestly didn't know it had a name.
You know, burr,
yeah.
You play it all the time.
Know that song.
Yeah.
Burr, 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 burr. You know that one. Ambush is going to find a way to work in it.
Yeah. He's got a remix. He's going to do a redrum of it. I don't know. It's got the original sample. I don't know. Ambush is going to That's hilarious. Okay,
so I just have to say, shout out to y'all. I asked if you were there, and then you all responded at the same time, and I missed so many of these.
That's a deluge.
So I just want to say, good morning, Michelle. Michelle said, well, it would help if there were ever warnings for photosensitive people. Everything Everywhere All at Once might have killed me. I don't mean to laugh at that. I just very much identify.
Yeah.
I think that there's something to be said about using the right words for the right things, too. Yeah. Like, if you don't know that you're, that's, you know.
Like your photosensitive.
Yeah, like my mom would say all the time, like, oh, can't do those bright lights, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's likely you can't do strobing.
Huge difference.
Because you are photosensitive to the, you know.
Right. Hearing someone say, I can't do those bright lights, it's like, neither can I. But we're not saying the same thing.
Exactly. Right?
I was explaining to someone yesterday, I was like, my relationship with Morgan, and you guys have heard me say this on the radio too, really helped expand my understanding around migraines, because initially it was like, oh, you got a migraine. Oh, yeah, I get bad headaches too. Not the same. When you were like, yeah, I get auras. Wait a minute. Pause the television. Everyone be quiet. Quiet down. What do you talk? An
what
aura.
What does that mean?
What do you mean?
Yeah.
A colorful wheel in front of your eye? How come I can't see it? What are you talking about?
Discotheque.
What is this? Coat of many colors, and what you're describing, it's obstructing your view, and now you can't see all through your eyeballs with it? What? Like, this is, it's different. That's different.
Yeah. It's very different.
Yeah.
It's very different. And light does just hit differently.
Yeah.
So, like, driving at night, depending on the height of where an oncoming car is.
Oh yeah, like they're yeah.
The headlights are blinding.
Those LED headlights took a while for me to adjust to seeing an oncoming traffic.
I mean, blind. Like, do I just stop? I don't, guys, because then that would cause accidents. But it's rough, and there's a lot of things that we deal with, light and sound wise, like. I thought I was going to have to leave that movie simply because everything else was so loud, like the Regal ads and the whatever happens before the trailers start.
Yeah. Oh, that stuff was,
we walked in and I was
turned
like,
up.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We're at Coachella. Oh, no. What's going on?
Yeah. Like I'm not going to be able to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. It was tough. So, Brooke did ask earlier what theater we recommend. We did go see it at Lloyd.
Yeah.
And I would say, based on what you're looking for, that would determine what theater. On some real, like, what if you want a fully immersive IMAX experience, maybe see it at OMSI if OMSI's showing it, or go to a place that has like a super kitted out IMAX situation.
No.
It's also showing in 3 and 4D in certain places. So
what does 4D mean?
4D is when there's real life interactive things happening, so temperature changes.
Like some water might splash on your face.
Yeah.
Or something.
Like noises, other additional noises, people running through the theater, stuff like that.
Absolutely not. Thank you. I do not want any parts of that in a movie going experience. But I did want to mention that the sound was different.
Yeah.
In this film. And I don't know if that was because of the IMAX theater or not, but like there were, you know, peripheral things, sounds happening
all around you,
all around the whole time.
Yeah.
Whether it's a insect noise or like patter of feet or
somebody
wings,
knocking on the door, like that's that Dolby.
But more than normal.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, I don't know. No, you're right. There's just different points, 5 point, 12 point. You know, speakers all over the place. But if it was a very immersive audio experience for sure, definitely.
Ooh. Sorry, P-Town said, nope, no night driving in the rain. Maturity is understanding what you can and can't handle anymore. And I don't like it. I don't like night driving in the rain.
It's like being blind.
It's like being blind. Okay, I don't know that we get to say that.
Okay, no.
It's such a scary feeling for me because I can't see. And that is like my big scary thing because my eyes are all sorts of whatever. If I have my glasses on and I can't see, that's almost an immediate somewhat panic, you know?
Like, I have my glasses.
No, my glasses are on. My glasses are clean. Like,
there's a waterfall on my windshield, and my wipers are trying the best to keep
doing their dangdest.
You know, then on top of that, I'm driving on some road that doesn't have street lights because bird migration patterns.
You know, someone's got to make sure that they.
Oi. Oi. Give me my street lights. You want me to? You want me to hit the curb? Come on. Give me my street lights.
I wonder. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Last thing that is a random thing I saw yesterday. They're engineering students, don't remember the school, that have figured out to use bass sound waves to put fire out.
What?
I know I say that's this a incredible. Lot, everybody, but I promise you I will put this on the Instagram today.
Wow.
It was so cool. And the applications that they're thinking of. So they said at first they thought it would be like high pitched sound waves would do it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Didn't do anything. They walk up to like start a fire in a pot, you know, or pan, and go up with this
device.
And it's like, and it just puts the fire out.
What?
And so they're like the applications that they're like what they would love to see happen is the ability to put that on
helicopters
and drones for wildfires.
Yeah. Oh my god!
To be able to get in there and
that is so cool.
Yeah, it's really neat.
So when you first started telling that story, you're like, the particular colleges, you said they're engineering students.
Yeah.
And I was like, this college is engineering students to do what?
Oh, fair. Because of the climate we live in.
Yeah. Deep state.
Got to get your words right, Morgan. They are college students.
Studying engineering.
And they, because they want to be engineers.
As opposed to the college taking students and engineering them
into
to be operatives
super
in
soldiers.
A deep state.
Correct.
Okay.
All right. Yes.
Thank you for that clarity. I know it wasn't just me. There were other people out there that were unsure.
I think you're right.
I do have a quick P-Town super soldier. Said, go ahead.
P-Town just said, heck yeah, I knew it. Music will save us all.
There it is.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a Weapons Plus Weapon X Educate in 30 seconds.
Give it.
Boom. You know Captain America.
I do.
Captain America is a super soldier. He was the first super soldier successful in the Weapons Plus program.
Yeah, he's not the first super soldier.
He's not the first super soldier.
That's not how that ever works.
So he's technically Weapon 1. For years, we knew Wolverine as Weapon X.
Yes.
But we didn't understand for, you know, the way they set things up. Weapon X is in 10. He is the 10th in the series, whereas Captain America is 1.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Right. Guess who I just found out is Weapon 6?
The Winter Soldier.
Power Man. Luke Cage. Experimented on him while he was in prison. That was part of the Weapons Plus.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That was part of the Weapons Plus program.
Yikes!
Yep.
And then they were like, you should just go own a barbershop in Harlem.
He was the only one to survive those experiments. They were targeting incarcerated individuals with that particular...
Weird. Never heard anything about that before.
Exclusively that particular strain that they were working with. Yep. There it is,
guys.
That's
pretty cool.
Yeah. I was like, holy smokes. Mind blown. Okay.
I think you just have to add that there was already a black Captain America.
Isaiah
Washington being... Is that his name?
I believe it's an actual actor. Oh, then that's not his name. Bradley. It's Isaiah Bradley.
Yeah, I was like, that's not it.
Isaiah Washington's the guy we don't like.
He went full
Trumper.
He is a full steam ahead.
Yeah. He's not my super soldier at all.
No.
No, he's a Trumper. He's terrible.
Isaiah Bradley is the name of that character who was experimented on.
Yep.
Before Steve Rogers.
Before Steve. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. All right. So I know what story I want to do.
Give it to me.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Because the FTC, I'm shocked that they're able to continue right now. The Federal Trade Commission had been working on this, you know, case with Meta for a while. And we're looking into monopolistic tendencies, you know? Are you out here doing the monop?
Oh, joy.
The hard answer, very easy. Yes. Yes. Y-E-S.
Big
exclamation.
Yes.
Loud. Big yes. So you may remember when Facebook bought Instagram for a cool $1 billion back in 2012, like right when it started.
I don't think I knew it was that much. Wow.
Well, everybody was like, dang, that's a lot for like a photo app. But you fast forward to 2025 and it turns out that Instagram's co-founder, Kevin Systrom, has some thoughts and he shared them under oath. Mm. Systrom testified this week in the FTC's antitrust case against Meta, and he basically said that Mark Zuckerberg pulled a keep your enemies close.
Mm.
According to Systrom, once Instagram started thriving, Zuck got nervous, saw Instagram's growth as a threat to Facebook's dominance, and started starving it of resources on purpose.
So he bought the company.
Yes.
And then I set out.
Yes, exactly that. Yes.
Sweet.
Systrom says that despite Instagram blowing up, Meta refused to invest in it. He sent internal emails saying that the app was starving for support. No extra staff, no money for video features, no real investment in privacy tools. And that's even after the Cambridge Analytica
debacle. They had the money. They just didn't want to share it, but they had the money.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not. It doesn't make sense.
Right. And in 2018, Zuck actually started dialing back Facebook's internal support for Instagram. Like, they literally stopped linking people back to the app through Facebook on purpose because Zuckerberg felt Instagram was hurting Facebook's growth.
Yeah, it's giving. If I can't be the best, nobody.
So Systrom said Zuck was happy Instagram was doing well, but also low-key jealous. Like, he's the founder of Facebook. He wanted his baby to be the top dog.
So, I mean, they're handing the case to FTC. This is easy.
I mean,
this is
one witness.
Yeah, okay.
We'll say. Yeah. You know? But yes, the, speaking to the FCC's case, they're out here saying Meta didn't just buy Instagram and WhatsApp to grow. They bought them to kill the competition. And now they want to unwind those details. And that means that Meta might actually have to spin Instagram off and make it its own company again.
Yikes. Yeah, that would definitely, I could see that shaking up the tech world.
Like, it would not make them happy.
Yeah, but Meta's like, hold up. We made Instagram what it is today, right? It's because of us. Instagram is what it is.
That's exactly what they're saying. Meta's lawyers are saying, y'all had 13 employees and no revenue when we scooped you up. You know, like, don't act brand new around here. Yikes. Y'all didn't have no money. They're also trying to make this about global competition, saying breaking up Meta would only help China win the AI race.
You got to sprinkle some China in there. Yeah. You're just a little red scare. You gotta do that.
From the man that learned Mandarin.
Right.
Who wants so badly to be in China, who wants nothing more than to be a global gabillionaire.
Right.
The bottom line is this case could be huge for big tech. It's about whether powerful companies get to buy the competition and then clip its wings.
And if the FTC wins, it could be the biggest tech breakup since what? Bell?
Right. And now that it's 2025, and their pinky promise is expiring, maybe Ticketmaster and Live Nation maybe they'll be next.
What a world.
I don't know if you know about their pinky promise, the consent decree that they signed years ago saying, we promise we won't break any of your rules. That was after they had broken the rules that they promised they already wouldn't break.
Right.
Because they're obviously a monopoly. And
after the hill of broken promises. Right.
Yes. That consent decree ends this year. And I think that what happens here with Facebook or with Meta will give us an idea of what could or couldn't happen moving forward with other obvious.
What is the over and under
monopolies
on Trump disrupting this with an executive order?
No clue. I'm honestly shocked that this trial is still or the hearing is happening. Not a trial.
Same.
I'm your honestly partner, shocked.
Insurrectionist. Like, what are we even doing here? I know Zuck is like, I really got to show up for this thing. Come on.
Yo, did anybody happen to see that dude, that they called the shaman? What did they call him? Like the insurrection shaman?
Mm-hmm.
Nope, that wasn't it. QAnon. It was a QAnon shaman.
Yeah, with the moose head or whatever.
Yeah. Mans is out here now doing interviews saying basically like his life was ruined, even though.
Excuse me?
You're not in jail.
Life was ruined by who?
You got pardoned.
Who's ruining whose life?
He's a political prisoner for however long he was incarcerated.
This is what I called a Hegseth interview yesterday.
Kegseth
interview yesterday. He's kicking that hole, you know, targeted by the deep state. This is what I don't
You
understand.
Are the deep state.
This I'm is sorry. Where I am. Precisely. The deep state can't be the enemy while you're campaigning. And then you go in, you drain the swamp, you get impeached multiple times, right? And then you lose because they cheated. But then you get back in and we're still dealing with you're back in charge. You fired so many people, brought in all of these people who would know, they don't know up from down. And there's still a deep state?
Listen.
Where are they? Where is this deep state?
They are the deep state. That is the power. Like,
yeah. At what point are you guys the levers of power? Mr. I'm bringing war to the war chest and war into the world. How is it that you guys are consistently victims and victors? How? Where? Where, bro? You got caught doing something you already did. I don't even understand what we're talking about. We found out that this moron is having classified conversations through Signal. Okay, cool. All right. What happened
they
now?
They were like, nothing burger.
Right. What happened now, PETA, is the same situation. They just found another thread for the same thing. This isn't a new offense. It's the same thing. It's the same timeline.
Same timeline. You got caught doing it extra.
That's it.
You got caught doing it more than we knew the first time.
I wouldn't even after be doing you interviews.
Guys put a journalist into your group chat.
What did I say the first time? Run all of that back. Run it. Say, chop that footage up and run it back. I'm not doing interviews with Pete Kexeth. I don't have time for this.
Kexeth.
I gotta go in and clean up my new text messages. You guys don't know about this. You guys are talking about
on my
old
other
stuff.
Phone.
Yeah. the deep state stuff is just like, come, give it a rest. Give it a rest. Come on, man.
They can't. So shout out to Jess. Jess is part of our production team and just family, you know. And the other day we were talking about, he was like, you know, I should never do this, but I do. I read the comments. I got to read the comments of like a news article. And I stopped reading the comments of news articles, I think, when the internet started, because it was awful. It was like, oh my God, you people live here?
Right. Let it be local news?
Whoa,
too?
No. Like, you'll be, oh no. I read the comments of a lot of things because it's where you get a lot of insight on stuff. I had stopped reading the comments on news articles. And because Jess said that, I was reading, you know, getting ready for the stuff. I'm reading a bunch of articles this week. And I look at the comments and my word, Bird, let me tell you this about that. I have never, ever thought that there were so many people in proximity to Portland, because these are obviously not people that live in Portland.
Yeah.
They are maybe in Oregon, likely in Washington.
Likely in Washington. Yeah.
Maybe Idaho.
Yeah.
Caring so much about the deep state and the, you know, impacts of the progressive deep state that has killed Portland as a city, once a beacon of hope, now on fire.
Dude.
The amount of times I saw deep state as like,
what are you?
Y'all are just doing like, not just word salad, but like, like word confetti?
Yeah. Sprinkle
just,
it everywhere.
Just throw a little bit out there.
Throw a little deep state on it.
Like, what are you? What?
You're brining your news in deep state for 24 hours.
Like, literally, a article about bicycle lanes will be like, and you see, the progressives in Portland. Like,
what?
If they would only get rid of all of the. No. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
We're going to get all you liberals. We can't wait to take over. I mean, I don't know what take over and do what exactly. Like throw a bunch of people in jail for being poor, already doing that. We also had a poll recently that dropped that was like very confusing results. We as a city, like, I don't know who got to take this. I wasn't asked. We as a city are going to, like, we would, with this shortfall that we have, we'd like to see that the parks and rec and fire don't lose funding. Mm. And the police can lose funding, and so can homeless services.
No.
But not if it's this or that. And if it's this, then we don't want the police to lose funding. But if it's that, then it's okay to stop sweeping camps. Like, I was like, who did any of this?
Who dreamt this up?
Who did any of this? And what does it actually help if the, I do actually know who did any of it. I could actually tell this as if it's a story. And I don't want to spend a bunch of time on it, but it
it really is kind of crazy that it's two city council people had like commissioned this poll, basically. Mm-hmm. And the questions, I really feel like they got nowhere. The idea was, mm-hmm. we know that the city is facing a shortfall. There's, you know, $60 million or something. And mm-hmm. what do we do? What services are we willing to cut? I don't know. I don't know how they framed any of the questions.
Right.
But reading some of the results, it was like, oh, they are... Either folks are confused and don't understand how any of these problems get solved, which right. I think is
yeah.
true.
Yeah, for a lot of people.
For a lot of folks.
Yeah.
But I think that asking really confusing questions, the if, then, and for mm. situations, mm-hmm. and trying to put people into a... We're already dealing with, like, over panic about crime mm-hmm. or certain safeties, and then you're, you know, make them think, well, if you needed to call the police, would you, you know, not want the police to show up type right. thing? Like,
don't you want them to be available? Yeah,
like, do y'all know that they already aren't, you know what I'm right. saying? Like
right.
if you call them, you likely wouldn't get them coming to you unless there was a moita. Definitely not an SA. If there's an SA happening, they're like, your skirt's probably too short and you probably drank too many beers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and get out of my face?
I think that's a perfect
promiscuous
segue.
Girl. Oh, what?
Oh. I love that single. I think it's a perfect segue into this Portland Libertarian. Because, I want to talk sidewalks real quick. That's okay. Specifically, the kind that can cost you over $100,000, even though they don't technically belong to you. Like, bruh.
Sorry, I was trying to find it.
Yeah.
I found it. Yeah, this is wild. So, a real estate agent named Cammy Price in North Portland just spent spent six figures to update the sidewalk and street corners outside her office building. And it wasn't because she wanted to. It was because the city of Portland made her do it.
She had to pour new sidewalks, upgrade curb ramps to be ADA compliant, and make the corners line up with current city codes. Basically, a whole overhaul. And all this because she was renovating her own building. As part of her getting her permits, the city told her she had to bring the adjacent public infrastructure up to code.
Egregious.
Yeah.
This isn't some unique to Cammy thing either. Like, Portland and most cities have this policy that when you make significant changes to your property, the next door public infrastructure becomes your problem. Mm. So sidewalks, curbs, even planting street trees. It's technically city-owned property, but they shift the burden of updating it to the property owner. Just surprise, now you're in charge of fixing the sidewalk, too.
Crazy. But here's the messiest part. The Oregon Department of Transportation already had plans to redo that exact intersection soon. So she dropped $100,000 on something that might get dug up and redone anyway.
I'm not laughing because that's funny. Bruh. I'm laughing so that I don't scream directly into this microphone.
Yeah, that's just, it's not just expensive. That's dumb messy.
That's extra messy.
Yeah.
Thankfully, someone's paying attention. Mayor Keith Wilson, asterisk. For me, I'm reserving the right to call him Ted 2.0 at any point. is now saying that the city should seriously consider reimbursing her, saying, quote, we need to be easier to do business with. And honestly, he's not wrong.
No. State Rep Ty Trance stepped in and called for the city to, quote, make Ms. Price's situation whole. Mm. There's even legislation moving through Salem now that would make it harder for cities to do this to people in the future.
Look, we get that cities want to keep infrastructure up to code, but forcing individuals to fit the bill for public land updates especially during private renovations, just feels pretty backwards.
Yeah.
And regressive. Like, who has that 100K just laying around when you're trying to fix your own office? Like, what are we talking about?
And this is one of those sneakily political stories because it's about how the city treats small business owners. And don't forget the homeowners. And owners, don't forget the homeowners of homes, land that they want, especially now that they're shifting public infrastructure funding responsibilities to individuals.
Yeah. That makes me think of the many Black folks who have lost their homes or had to fight the city because they're told that tree must be removed and the tree ain't mine and the tree is, you know, the tree is bringing up the sidewalk. The roots are bringing up the sidewalk. I don't know how that is has ever been able to be shifted from the city's responsibility to a homeowner's responsibility. Outside of just being like, we ain't doing it.
Right.
It's on you or
fines.
We'll fine you out of your home.
Right.
Which is how they got a lot of folks to leave their and I'll say peacefully leave their properties that were then demolished. You know? But this is some wild stuff. Like, for me, that is a, I want to know how the city's even, because I know it's not just here, but I want to know how they even got to the point where they got to do that. And I'm guessing there's going to be some racism at the end of that thread that I'm pulling.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A whole lot of, well, this really ain't your land anyway.
Bruh. From our earlier conversation about the deep state, Kay said, I truly think that people in love with talking about deep state haven't read fiction. Like, like their only relationship to curiosity is funneled into conspiracy talk.
Ooh.
Like, go write fanfic and be happy.
Yes!
Yeah.
You're right. But they believe the fanfic.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Yeah. They think that's the... Yeah. Oh, man. That's real.
Yeah.
Their only relationship to curiosity is funneled into conspiracy talk.
Bruh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ugh, imagine if that's where your imagination started and ended. That sucks.
Bruh.
Like, that's awful.
Especially with the level of conspiracy conversations out there today. It's like, oh my gosh. What? No.
P-Town, or my protest sign, quote, abort the feed us in the White House. It's brain dead.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, yes, I couldn't imagine being told that while I'm doing these renovations to my home, now this sidewalk that, you know, has been an eyesore, has been an issue, has been an inconvenience to, you know, people in the ADA community, is now my responsibility. Hey, we see you're changing your fence line and you're making some improvements over there to that retaining wall. How about handle the sidewalk? Why?
While you have the concrete out.
Right. Get to turn it into cobblestone? Do I get to do something I like with it? Like, what am I doing?
Absolutely not.
Add some accents to the property? Can I extend the tile? Like, what are we doing here?
The idea that they can tell you you have to do it, plus you have to do it to their specifications and to match their updates, like, wild for the night.
Yeah.
I'm already, and I'm be honest, I've been confused about the PBOT, ODOT, why, who gets to own what and who takes care of what parts of what. I do not understand. Yeah. It definitely seems very much like we're doing bureaucracy for bureaucracy's
sake.
Thank you.
Heck yeah.
Wow, that was a rough one.
Heck yeah. I'd agree.
But if you had that on your docket, if you had that on your docket to you're already going to do that corner,
I find it hard to believe there's no overlapping communication somewhere. If I put in for these permits,
right,
and someone tells me from the permitting office, well, these are the things you have to do in order to get that permit. At no point are you checking the registry or the doc that you have that tells you what's getting upgraded and what infrastructure projects are happening.
Yeah, you don't have a list of upcoming work orders for that particular address or that. Like, that should be a conversation between local government and the property owner. Like you said, they submit to get the permits. Oh, look, it just came up. Your address is actually in a zone that we're going to be doing construction. Because here's the thing. What if whatever the city plans to do with that intersection, it's now going to impact that homeowner and whatever they're like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what? Also, just in the reality that we're in right now, where this isn't something like Tom Hanks faced in a movie. You know,
a challenge to overcome.
Right. This is literally the truth that in this particular situation, a very common one, the city can make you pay for work on a city property, public property.
Like, this is the thing that gets.
Why is that alone?
Do I get to? Is that possible. Now my private property? Like,
and you saying that they'd be like, well, of course it isn't. You're right. Well, of course
it isn't. Of course it isn't.
So explain to me why me, a private citizen, is paying for. What are the. Like, because then we gotta sit this down, right? And we gotta backtrack. Well, when did this law start? All right, well, who lobbied for this? How did we get here? Okay, who are the legislators that said yes to this? And the current legislators, do you think this makes sense? Let's close this out. Because this is nonsense. Like,
single part of it.
Where's the progression? You did say we're libertarians. So there's no progression.
Well, my question is Portland as a city a libertarian? Because this is their dream. Like, private business will, if you own a hospital, you're going to want someone to come there, right? So you're going to have to build a road. And if you own a hotel, you're going to want people to come there. So you're going to have to build a road. And that's on the business owner. That's a libertarian, like, that's the...
And because they want to keep customers, they'll maintain a well...
Of course.
Well-paved road and make... Yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah, because this is a marketplace, okay? And not just of ideas, but also of places that you can shop and roads you can drive on.
So many SKUs.
If you want people to come back to your place of business, you'll make sure that you don't do a racism. You'll never do a sexism. You certainly are not going to be a phobic of any sort. Mm. And you will make sure that the roads are paved in gold directly to your door and all will be fine.
Yikes.
That's all it takes is a grind set. Mindset.
Oh,
you know,
you're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM and in the Halen Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. Grind set mindset, ma'am. Yeah, I needed to abruptly shut that down. We're not doing none of that. Grind.
Before we close the show, I just got to say, shout out to our fiance, P-Town. Real birthday tomorrow. The queen turns another year wiser.
Woohoo!
Another year of resistance.
I know that's right.
And she said folks can come on over with their birthday wishes tomorrow and through the weekend.
Nice.
I will be celebrating and doing it well because that's the only way to fight back is to be alive and loving your magical. Oh, and loving your magical and those around you.
Nice.
Thanks for doing the air horn.
I'm working on it.
It's really good.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
I'm done working on it then.
It's not how any of this works. And I thought that I just gave you, you know, the blueprint to the grind set. We don't, there no days off, no sleep, Team no sleep, no days off, grind until the liberty hits you in the face.
No, oh. You said it's really great. That gave me everything I needed to know that my work was done. That thing does not need to be developed anymore.
I thought I said good, but you know, we could catch it on the playback.
Well, that was another successful Deuce by Fiance. Brought to you by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush and our podcast editor, Kyle of Residual Audio.
Ba, 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 ba.
The song listing has been updated. Thank you, MJ. I forgot to put that other one in there. Unless you put that, did you put that in there? Or Kyle put that in there?
I put it in there.
All right. You know, because Kyle be in the dock, man.
Yeah, Kyle be in the dock.
Yeah. So, you know, y'all know what it is. Don't let the individual distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much for hopping in the chat like y'all do every Thursday morning with us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We will catch you Monday night, 6:30 on the YouTubes. Doing that Monday night raw live in person, live raw.
I have a couple of things I meant to say earlier. One, we, News with My Fiance, are working on a voter guide for this upcoming special election, which we plan to drop the week of May 5th.
Yes.
We'll get your ballot soon. I just got the pamphlet. And I think May 20th is the day that we vote.
I believe so.
So keep your eye out on the social medias for that. And we will announce it once it drops. But looking for that week.
Yes.
Also, yes. Happy birthday again, P-Town.
Hey.
I hope that tomorrow is amazing. And we will check in with you.
Yeah.
See where you are.
Yeah.
What's going on. How we can get vibey with you.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, no war but class war.
Yeah. And Sunday, no request.
No request.
DJ Cliff's birthday. We're going up.
Yay, yay.
It's going to be amazing.
You know, things happening in Portland around this weekend.
For sure. All right. Thank you so much for listening. And
bye.